Hey, I'm Joyce, and welcome to today's Walk and Talk. Walk and Talks are a 99 Walks exclusive, where I have the honor of walking and talking with some of the world's most interesting people. Now, this is not a highly produced podcast. This really is an informal conversation between two people talking about the things that matter most. Thanks for being with us, and here we go.
Hey everyone, Joyce here, welcoming you to today's Walk and Talk. Our guest today is a personal friend of mine who I'm so excited to reconnect with, Trina Limpert. Am I pronouncing your last name? I actually don't know.
Yes, yes, you got it right. You got it right.
Trina is the CEO and founder of Rise Next Corporation, which is a strategy and education consulting company focusing in the diversity and inclusion space. She's also the co-founder of Tech Moms, which is an organization that educates and assists women re-entering or transitioning their careers into technology, a place where there's so much need and so much opportunity. Trina's a speaker, a wonderful speaker, a wonderful person, and she is a tremendous advocate for women in tech. So Trina, if I've left anything out, feel free to add it, but
thank you so much
for being here with me.
Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction. Glad to be here. Glad to be out walking.
Perfect. So you have been in the technology space, kind of that's where it all began for you, even though your focus now is a lot of diversity and inclusion and all of that. But you were kind of early in the technology world for women, right?
I was. I actually wrote my thesis paper on why women should go into computer science over 25 years ago. Because as I came in and just fell in love with computer science and technology and looking around the room and going, where are all the women? Why am I sitting here, you know, alone? It is kind of an isolating thing to be the minority, you know? And so I've been a passionate advocate for women within this space. And as I continued my career and had all this opportunity, I just went, tech jobs are mom jobs. Why are we not here? Why are there not more women taking advantage of these amazing careers in tech? So I've definitely been an advocate.
Why is that? Let's even start. Does this all go back to like root cause and the way we're raising up our children and, you know, tech and math is for boys? Does it just go back to all of that?
It does. There's so many different variables. If it was one, we could solve for it and it'd be done, right? And it'd be an easier target. But I think there's multiple barriers. One is the perception. This flat perception that this is a man's job, right? Or that you, when you think a technologist, you think of the guy sitting in the corner writing code with his Legos around him, which does happen, but that's not the norm, you know? But I think it's just somewhere along the line, as we're being raised, we get shifted into perspectives of what we should be. Like a lot of times I'll go speak at junior highs or high schools trying to get more awareness of being able to see women in these roles. And I'll ask the question, I'll say, hey, what do you think my job is? And I get three answers every time: mom, nurse, teacher.
Absolutely.
I get that. I can almost guarantee every time I go in, those are the top three I get. And then when I tell them I'm a technologist, I've been an executive at large corporations, they just are flabbergasted, like, what, you? And so it's just this continual perception that we still have out there that women fit certain roles, men fit other roles, that we're having to continually break down. And even
go ahead, Trina.
I was going to say, even for the tech moms, as they're adults, the first thing we have to do is reset their perspectives of themselves and get the idea that they are a technologist, that they belong there, that they should be there, right? There's a lot of internal work that we have to do. It's not just teaching the technology. It's a lot of breaking down internal barriers of our own perspectives of ourselves.
You know, our self-talk, I can't do this, this isn't for me,
all
of that.
Oh, huge.
Right? And I have a question, and I don't know exactly how to ask this question because I've never kind of articulated this before, but it seems to me, knowing the little bit that I know, which is not a ton, but when we talk about technology, I think it feels really overwhelming and intimidating. And
yeah,
my guess, and this is what you got to tell me if I'm right or wrong, there are parts and elements of being a technologist, working in tech, that aren't so flippin' hard and mysterious.
Right.
Right? Like, not
absolutely
everybody who is good at their job in technology is some brilliant
no
savant coder. Is that,
I can,
like, isn't there a,
no,
there's
that
a whole
is,
world
that
out
is,
there.
There's so many times, I can't remember what the exact quote is, but like Michelle Obama going and showing up to meetings and go, I'm smarter than everybody here. Why are they here? Like what's going on? It's that same not recognizing that you can be the smartest person in the room, right? And that you have a lot to bring to the table. And so there, what we do a lot is really demystifying the tech industry.
That's
because
my
it
point.
Isn't,
exactly. It's like shrouded
yeah,
it, in all of this lore.
Like, yeah, we make it really super complicated. Not only do we take thousands of jobs, it's not just coding, right? Thousands of jobs and call it technology. We even cut it in half and just call it tech and expect everybody knows what that means. And so a lot of the work we do going through these bridging programs is we do basic coding skills, but we also teach cybersecurity introduction. What is UI UX design? What's a product manager? What's a technical project manager? Technical sales, technical marketing. There's all these different avenues, all these different ways of being, having these really amazing careers that are all flexible. They all have higher pay. You can do remote working. It's like tech jobs are mom jobs. Why are we not taking them?
Tech jobs are mom jobs. So
absolutely.
I want to add one more thing for you to demystify for us. So many of the women in the 99 Walks community are either moms of older kids, their kids are in high school, their kids have graduated, they're empty nesters. So it's too late for them, right?
No, absolutely not. No. There is not a certain identity of woman that comes into our program. In fact, we accept men into the program. If they want to be a tech mom, awesome, come. But, you know, I have women that are high school graduates all the way to doctorate. I have stay-at-home moms for 15 years to been in a career, but I just want to shift, right? It doesn't matter where you're at. It does not matter. It doesn't, I can take any woman, get to know her, her personality, who she is, what her interests are, and I will find her a fit in tech. And I will put them on their path to saying, okay, this is where I see you will really shine and feel like you're really accomplished. Here's the path to getting there. And there hasn't been anybody I've worked with yet that we haven't been able to find a fit, whether they decide to continue it or not. You have to keep showing up, but
right.
You know, we've been able to find a fit.
So a few months ago, I had the honor of interviewing Leslie Jane Seymour for a Walk and Talk. And I don't know if you know Leslie, but she was the former editor-in-chief of More Magazine. She had a very, very big and prestigious career in New York. And then she completely reinvented herself. And she is really focused and deeply interested in women who at some stage of their life choose to completely reinvent themselves, either personally
mm-hmm.
or professionally. And,
uh-huh.
I hope that there are people out there, women out there listening right now, who are in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, who are thinking like, huh,
oh, yeah.
You know, I could take on a new challenge. Like, this is interesting to me. And we have so much deconditioning to do for women.
And are
you seeing it? Are you seeing it better, kind of with the next generation? Are the girls coming up feeling more empowered in tech?
No, unfortunately not. There's still a lot of work to do. There's still a ton of work to do. There's a lot of organizations doing some great work, but the reason why I love tech moms, I want to say one thing about the age before I move forward. I had a woman in, that came into program. She's in her 50s. She's an executive at a financial institution. But she'd always wanted to be an engineer, like, but just didn't know how to do it, right? Just didn't. And she came to me. She's like, Trina, I'm just feeling such imposter syndrome. I'm leaving my safety place to be able to do this. And I'm like, she's like, well, what if they say this? And there's this ageism thing and there's this and that. And I said, what would you do if you stopped listening to everybody else? And she took kind of a moment. She's like, I do this. I'm like, well, then let's do it. You know, like, stop listening to what you think everybody else might, you know, what could go wrong, what everybody might say, what perceptions may somebody else have of me. Will I really have an opportunity? And she left her executive position and she took over a technical product management position at a fintech company. And
oh,
she just had to, yeah, she just had to do a commit, what I call the commit ship, which is you've got to get to a place where it's not like, oh, maybe I'll do this. It's kind of like interesting to me, but I don't know. And what, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. What would you do if you could do anything? Commit to it and make that shift and things will just start coming to you. It's like the universe starts sending you like, okay, here's what you need. But you've got to stay committed to it and just keep taking those steps forward.
So it brings to mind something you posted on your social channel recently, which is something that I love. When you feel like quitting, remember why you started.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, why'd you guys all show up? Just keep at it. Like, the first day of class, the first thing I say is, you did the hardest part, you showed up.
Yeah.
That is the hardest part of just showing up every day, getting present, being there, whether you understand anything or not, just keep showing up. And it'll start to, like, soak in, you know. But it is, there's a power in just showing up.
So I'm curious, because we do often get a little personal on our walk and talks. Was there a moment in your life where you had to stop listening to what other people were telling you you should be, do, or become?
Oh, yeah. One really deep and personal things for me was when I had I have 3 sons and 5 stepkids. I have like 27 kids. I don't know. A lot of kids. But my 3 sons, where I had 2 sons, ages, I think they were 4 and 2. And I just felt like I needed to go back and get my master's degree. And so I started applying and I talked to somebody about it and they're like, what are you doing? You're being selfish. I'm like, what?
How?
They're like, yeah. Yeah, they're like, you're being selfish. You should be home with your kids. You're taking time away from your kids. You should be home, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, it hurt. It's still, you know, it's very, it was like, I had to just be true to myself and go, no, I know I need to do this. I need to do this. And after I completed my master's degree, I then had my last son. He was 6 months old and I was about ready to get to taking him and my other boys to a birthday party for my son's oldest birthday. And I walked in to catch my husband shooting up heroin. And I look back on that and I ended up becoming the provider of my family within a few weeks. I'm a single mom trying to take care of everybody. And had I listened to this other person that said, you're being selfish and thought they knew my future better than I knew my future, it would have been a whole different situation. You know, I was able to hire a nanny. I was able to get a gardener. I was able to have this career that really was my safe zone while everything else was falling down around me. And so, you know, for me, that was probably just, I mean, there was a lot of those examples in my life. I mean, that's the biggest one where I really had to just commit to myself what I knew was best for me and my family.
You know, and we don't have that level of foresight, though I do think that if you listen to your gut and you listen to your heart and your truth, you will be led in the right direction for you, even though none of us have a crystal ball. but then the power of hindsight. So,
oh yeah.
I suppose though there's a flip side to that, which is the power of hindsight and looking back and saying, "Thank heavens I took that step, I took that risk, and I did that for myself and my family." But then there's also the risk of the looking back and going, should have, could have, would have, right? That's
yeah.
really scary stuff.
Yeah. I work with a lot of women, and as they're trying to, the fear of making the wrong decision can get
yes.
us sometimes. Like I want to do this, but you know, what if it's too much commitment? I see this a lot in like women not getting promoted because they're afraid if they go into a higher position, it's going to take more time from their family. And so they hold themselves back. Sheryl Sandberg talked a lot about this, right? Where we're afraid that if I commit to the wrong thing, then I'm going to be locked in or it's not going to work. But I'm like, what's the worst case scenario? You just go back to doing something else. Like you can always go down really easy if that doesn't work out. But we have this like, oh, if I make the wrong decision on what career to take, well, guess what? You can shift later on. It's not like you're hard locked into this the rest of your life. And so letting go of that fear of decision and just really making committed decisions is really powerful.
And really hard. You know, my mother years ago gave me a piece of advice around this, which I go back to all the time. In fact, I just shared it with my daughter because she's wrestling with a decision. And my mom's advice was, we labor over these decisions that feel like the biggest decisions of our life. But the truth is, we have no idea what's the biggest decision of our life. It could be walking out your door and turning right and turning left. You know, you turn
That's
right
so true.
And some, at the time I was single, she said, you know, you turn right and you meet the great love of your life. You turn left and you get hit by a bus. Like,
yeah.
You don't know. And we look at these big career decisions and life decisions. We think like, these are the most important decisions of my life. But the truth is, you don't know what those decisions are, and
you
it's
don't.
Really hard to game that.
Yeah, and you won't know. You just got to go with the best gather as much information you can where you're informed, right? And feel like it's never going to be complete. We learned this a lot, like as a leader, and you're having to move really quickly, like driving initiatives and getting things out the door, you're never going to be fully informed. But you've got to, at some point, stop and make a decision. And move forward. And then you put things in place to say, hey, am I still on the right track? So that if I need to make a shift, I can. But you've got to commit and go at some point.
It sounds like you hear this from a lot of women coming into your program is the challenge of committing and the challenge and the fear of choosing the wrong path. Is that like a common
yeah.
theme you're hearing from people?
It is common. Yeah. Fear,
yeah.
doubt, and guilt. Those three. Those are our top three.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So let's talk about guilt, right? Because, we talk about this big choice that you made when your sons were really little and
yeah.
women taking big swings. And the truth is, we all know you can't do everything. You can't be everything
no.
to everybody. You can't have everything.
Nobody can. Yeah.
How do we manage to find what's the right balance for us and how
yeah.
do we manage the guilt?
Yeah. So I'm going to start with the guilt and then I'm going to talk about life work harmony a little bit. So we were doing our first graduation of one of our first cohorts and we have them get up and kind of present their website they've developed and talk about what they learned, what was hard for them. And it was like this common theme. Everybody was like, I felt so guilty. I felt so guilty for investing time in myself. I felt guilty for spending this time on me. And I'm like, God, like I stood up. I was like, you guys got to get rid of that. You got to chuck it now. Like get rid of the guilt. There is nothing wrong with investing in yourself. In fact, studies show it actually helps your children when the mom is investing and they see her going to school, they see her improving, you know, in whatever way. It may not be like formal education, but always learning, always developing, always building. So learning to recognize when you're feeling that guilt of like, oh, I should be doing something else. And that get, you've got to recognize it and I just call it chucking, like get rid of it. It's got to go, right? And so it's a very common thing. I had it. I had it for probably the first 20 years of my career. I'm like, oh, I should be doing this, right? I should be home. I should be, but I had this amazing career and I ruined a lot of it just feeling guilty all the time. And I finally went, why do I feel guilty? I don't need to feel guilty about this. This is amazing. I'm able to raise my family. I provide for my family. I get to do amazing things. I get to travel the world. I get to do all this. I get to design systems for millions of people around the world. That's amazing. And I shouldn't discount myself as a mother because my kids saw that what I was able to do and they can see what they can do. It goes back, I was going to mention earlier about the reason why we want moms in these roles is because you can't be what you can't see. So the more women we get actually in roles like this, their kids start becoming in roles like that. It's like, well, my mom did it, my dad did it, then I can do it, right? So I think that guilt piece definitely is one that just be hyper, hyper aware of it and get it out the door.
Years ago, I heard a story, and it just came back to me now. It was a little boy whose mother was a lawyer. And this goes back quite a while. And I think the kid was like 5. And he met some other family, some other guy. I don't remember the exact circumstances. And it turned out that the husband, the dad of this other family, was a lawyer. And the little boy looked at the guy, the man, and said, "You have a girl's job."
I love that. I love that. We should see it.
Yeah. It goes to that point of we've got to get women into these roles, or at least not, I shouldn't say get women into these roles. That's not what I mean. We have to make these opportunities available to women to start setting that example and creating that momentum.
Right. Right. And it's amazing once the light bulb turns on I see this time and time again, it's like, oh, this is all it was. Like this limiting, like once that perception's removed and they start doing the work, they're like, oh, this is all they're doing and they're getting paid how much? Like, what? Why didn't I do this years ago? And it's just getting that light bulb to turn on of going, oh, I can do this. That's what I did. Like when I switched into computer science, I didn't start out there. I actually started out in architectural engineering and took a programming class as part of my coursework and went, oh, I can do this. You know, it's just, and somebody tapping somebody on the shoulder and saying, oh, you can do this. And they go, oh, I didn't ever even think about that before. And now they can move forward.
So I took a computer coding class in college. And I had a very different reaction than you had. My reaction was, I cannot do this. But you know, it's interesting.
I was going to say, everybody, that's why you take so many different kinds of classes, is you're trying to find the one that sparked something in you, right? And you're like, oh, I love this. And for me, that was what it was.
For sure. But as I look back, and my career has been amazing, and I actually wouldn't change any of it. But kind of looking back, the product management kind of role is fascinating to me. And yeah. I know that that's something that I could have excelled at because that's kind of how my brain works. Yeah. And I literally, up until 3 years ago, didn't even know that job existed, to your point, which is sort of where we started around this idea that when we say like jobs in tech
right.
for women, jobs in tech for everyone, like there are so many different avenues that can take.
Oh yeah. And roles like product management aren't like a core curriculum at a higher university. And those that fall into it usually come from other disciplines. It's now becoming more of a taught, and there's coursework you can do in it, but it was never a formal role, but a very critical one. And women do an amazing job at it. The organizational skills needed for that type of role, we see a lot of women really excelling at it.
And that's, I'm not seeing enough out there in the world. I see a lot of people talking about the value and importance of encouraging more women to explore tech. But I actually haven't seen as much conversation out there about what it means to be in technology, and that it doesn't just mean sitting in, to use the cliche, sitting in your mother's basement drinking Red Bull and coding.
Right. It isn't. It's really fun to see the women that go through the program and become full stack developers. We had one woman, she was a music teacher, and she went through our program completely. We don't just do like technical training. It's like life transformation. It's like the best life coaching you can get, because you're developing yourself. You're removing these internal barriers. It's pretty amazing. And she's like, I'm going to become a coder because I am tired of how they're teaching this. She went through like a full stack development course. She's like, they're teaching this wrong. Like the men that are teaching it don't know how to teach. And so she now is working. She's like one of the top technical sales reps at an educational software company. She's doing like multi-million dollar deals selling software for lower education, like K through 12. For coding classes within the education system. And what if she wouldn't have shown up, right? I'm like, that's how things change. It's like you've got something unique in you that's going to be lost if we don't provide the right avenues for being able to say, oh, okay, I get this now. I can use financial knowledge and technology and business acumen to go build things that change the world, you know? And it's pretty cool to see just that fast her life as well as her impact.
So believe it or not, this half hour has gone so unbelievably
so
fast. But I know I have a last question for you that is going to take us a little bit over time, but I don't care as long as that's okay with
that's
you.
That's all right. Absolutely.
And it's kind of a fuzzy question, but the question is, how do we encourage people to identify that spark of curiosity or that moment when they should explore something new, right? Because we've got so many people, I think, in the world, women in particular, who are like, oh, I would love to do that, but I could never. Like, how do we, what's that voice inside of you that gets you to take that first step? Does that question make any sense, Trina?
It absolutely does. It's unleashing your superpowers. I do like a whole speaking thing on this, like really trying to find, like, if you find something, like it's getting out and doing things, right? It's just like we were talking about. You take multiple classes because you're trying to figure out which is the right fit for me. It doesn't mean that's the thing you're going to be doing the rest of your life. And there's going to be something that, like, oh, I get energized by this. Like the schoolwork or the work I'm doing no longer is work. It's like, I want to go do this. That's when you start to go, oh, this gives me energy. And I'm finding that when I'm reading up on it, or I'm involved in a community group, or I'm doing volunteering somewhere, you're going to find different things that spark that energy in you where it's like, oh, this seems really interesting. And then you start asking questions of people. How do I get there? What's available? What are the paths for me? And there's a ton of organizations out there that help, not just in tech, but it might be finance, it might be business, right? Being an entrepreneur, there's a ton of those types of things where it's just getting out and seeing what it is that interests you. I had one woman that was like, I did this Unleashing Your Superpower speech, and she messages me after. She's like, Trina, I found my superpower. And it was like the most random thing. She's like, I love quilting. Like my superpower is quilting. And I want to go out and teach all these women all the amazing things I've learned about quilting. And, you know, that was her thing. That was what she loved. It doesn't have to be tech. But, you know, there's something in you that the world is going to lose if you don't go out and use it.
Oh, can you just say that again? Just like that.
There's something in you the world can use that if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
right? We all have something material to contribute. And I agree 100% with the way you kind of describe that journey. I phrase it a little bit differently, but I think you'll agree there's a little bit of follow your curiosity.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually even more true for women who have already launched their career or have already started or have raised their family. You still have that spark of curiosity in you. Just follow it. And like my visual of that is like, you know how little kids in the backyard will literally follow a firefly around the backyard? And it's so beautiful to see them do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like follow
your
firefly.
I love that image. I love that image. It's beautiful. And it's so true. Don't get distracted or feel like somebody else is going to go do it. Follow your instincts and chase the firefly. I love that.
So, Trina, if people want to connect with you, where in the world of the internet can they find you, learn more about Tech Moms? We didn't even talk about Rise Next and all the important work that's being done there. We like need a whole nother conversation on that.
Yeah.
but where shall people find you if they would like to connect?
Yeah, my core business is Rise Next. It's diversity, equity, and inclusion consulting. You can find me at RIZENEXT.com and also Trina at risenext.com.
And on social media?
Rise Next is Instagram or Facebook, Rise Next. It's all there.
And
super simple.
Is Tech Moms on social channels? I don't recall.
It is. Tech Moms is tech-moms.org.
Perfect. Well, everybody who joined us today, thank you. We appreciate you listening in. Truly, it means the world to us. You can visit 99walks.fit for the show notes, including the links for connecting with Trina that she just shared real quick. They'll be there if you want them. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to help us in our mission to get 1 million women walking by sharing it with a friend. Thank you, Trina, so much for being here and happy
Thank
walking,
you.
Everyone.